This is a sunnah too. This is a sunnah too. This is a sunnah too.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Welcome dear viewers to another episode of our program. This is a Sunnah 2. And as you know, in this program, we are endeavoring to mention those particular sunnahs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam which are not highlighted often enough. In fact, if we were to say they are neglected by the majority, then this would not be wrong as well. These are those sunnahs which are related to his blessed character, his mannerisms, and subhanallah, they form his teachings, his prophetic teachings as well. So in this episode 2, we'll cover another sunnah, and that is to give respite, give time to the debt-ridden person, the debtor, the person who is in debt and he's not capable of giving his debt back quickly, then you give him a bit of time, you give him respite. And this respite, subhanAllah, will allow him to fulfill that debt that is upon him and he won't feel distressed, he won't feel worried, he's your fellow Muslim brother and you want to go easy on him, you want to create ease for him. This is from the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. What happens today is that when people give a loan to others, they demand it back. And when they demand it, sometimes they even go to the extent of abusing the other person. Ma'adallah, being violent with the other person. When are you going to pay up? It's been so long. I don't care how you gather the money. If it's not given to me by, you know, this time, this date, you just watch what happens. All these threats are made as well. Ma'adallah, the situation is really bad today. But if Allah has given you tawfiq to help someone in need, help someone in a time of difficulty, you've given them some money, you've alleviated their financial situation, and then they have promised to pay you back. And it's known in the community that this person is not a liar, he's trustworthy, he will give it you back. Go easy on him, especially if he is facing financial difficulty, which he is, obviously. Otherwise, why would he ask for money in the first place? So, come to an agreement. Go easy on him. Inshallah, the reward is immense, as you will hear. First of all, in the noble Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَإِن كَانَ ذُو عُسْرَةٍ فَنَظِرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَةٍ Translation, if the debtor, if the debt-ridden person is suffering from financial hardship, then give him respite until he has the capacity to fulfill the loan, to fulfill the debt, to give it back. Now, this is the teaching of the Quran. If somebody is suffering financial hardship, he needs to give you money back, go easy on him. And when he's capable, he'll give it back, inshallah. Give him respite until that time. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaching us Quran. Then when we look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his blessed aqwal, his statements, subhanallah, numerous occasions, time and time again, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the same. And in fact, one hadith, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha is the rawiya, the narrator. She states that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, now look at the reward of those who give respite, give time to the person who is struggling to pay back his debt, his loan. The Prophet alaihi wasallam said, the one who gave a debtor who is in financial hardship respite, he gave him some time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep that person, meaning the creditor, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep him in the shade of his arsh on the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar. Look at the reward. Look at the reward. You're going easy on creation. You're giving them time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you the shade of his arsh on the day of judgment. Subhanallah. Sayyiduna Jabir bin Abdullah radiyallahu anhu narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever desires that on the day of judgment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves him from difficulties and he grants him a place in the shade of his arsh, then he should give a respite to the debtor who who is struggling financially. Subhanallah. The same reward as mentioned in the previous hadith, and an additional reward is what? Whoever likes for Allah to grant him salvation from difficulties on Judgment Day. And a place in the shade of the arsh, he desires that as well. What should he do? He should give respite to the debtor. Give him time to pay back his loan. SubhanAllah, these are the teachings of Islam. And Islam guides us in every aspect of life. Where we go wrong is when we abandon the teachings of Islam, we discard those teachings, and we act upon our emotions. That's when things go wrong. We're not guided, we're not following that divine guidance. That's when things go wrong. Let's listen to another hadith. Sayyiduna Burayda radiyallahu ta'ala an states, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam say, whoever gives respite to a person who is suffering financially, then daily, as long as the loan is not paid back, daily he will receive reward of giving sadaqah equal to the amount of money he gave as a loan. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Just think for a moment. You borrow someone £5,000 and he's struggling to pay it back. You give him a bit of time. Because you've given that person time, respite, daily now you're going to get the reward of paying or giving £5,000 in sadaqah that you are owed. And he hasn't given it back yet because he's not managed to save that amount. Look at the reward, subhanAllah. The hadith continues. Sayyiduna Burayda radiyallahu anhu says, on one occasion I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam say, whoever gives respite to a person who is in financial hardship, he will receive reward for giving sadaqah, which is double the amount that he has loaned to that person. Meaning, if somebody has given £5,000 as a loan to someone, that person is struggling to pay it back, you've given him time, respite, then daily until you received it back, you will receive reward of giving sadaqah, which is twice the amount. £5,000 times 2 is what? 10,000. So daily you will get the reward of giving £10,000 in sadaqah until you receive the amount back. SubhanAllah, it's a win-win situation. SubhanAllah. Sayyiduna Burayda radiallahu anhu says, I asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I heard on one occasion you saying that the one who gives respite to a debtor, person in debt who is struggling financially, that daily he will receive the reward of giving an equal amount of sadaqah. And now you're saying he will receive reward of giving double the amount that he's owed as sadaqah in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered, and he said, when I mentioned reward of giving sadaqah equal to the amount that you have given to someone else as a loan, that was up until the deadline approaches. So you had a date in mind, you agreed a date, a mutual agreement that by this date you are to pay me my money back. The person hasn't managed to, up until that date arrives, then you will receive reward of giving sadaqah equal to the amount that you have loaned out. And when that date passes and still that person has not managed to pay you back, that's when the double reward starts. Reward of giving double the amount as sadaqah in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Double what? Double the amount that you gave to the person originally. And I've explained that a few moments ago. What does it mean by double here? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered in this manner. Meaning, don't be confused, my sahabi radiallahu anhu. On one occasion I said, he receives reward of sadaqah equal to the amount he gave to that person as a loan. And in one place I said double the amount. And then the Prophet alayhi wa sallam clarified what he meant by both statements. SubhanAllah. In another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever desires for his supplications to be accepted and for his difficulty to be eased, he should go easy upon the one in financial hardship. The one who needs to pay back a debt, a loan, he's in financial hardship, go easy on him. Your du'as will be accepted, and secondly, your difficulties will also be alleviated, will become easy, subhanAllah. Sayyidun Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma narrates, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, whoever gives respite to a person in financial hardship, a debtor who is in financial hardship, until he attains prosperity, attains financial ease, Allah Ta'ala will grant that person respite until he repents for his sins. Subhanallah. Another fadila, another excellence of going easy upon the one in debt. In Sahih Bukhari and Sunan Ibn Majah, Sayyiduna Jabir radiallahu anhu narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, may Allah ta'ala have mercy on the one who shows ease, displays ease in both buying and selling and in demanding something as well. Subhanallah, the narrations are plentiful. And what are we to do? We are to listen to these narrations and act upon them as well. If I'm in a situation, if you're in a situation where we're owed money by our fellow Muslim brother, he's not able to pay it back, go easy on him. And the last thing you should be doing is filling other people's ears that he's not trustworthy. You know, I'm never going to lend him money again. We agreed a date, he's not managed to pay me back. He's not managed because he hasn't managed to save. If he had the money and he still does not pay you back, that's a different matter altogether. And in this episode, we're not covering that because there are so many wa'idat that someone who takes a loan with this intention of not even paying it back. So many warnings that you should never do that. If you don't have any intention of paying back the loan, you should never take it in the first place. In fact, that will work against you in the dunya and most definitely in the akhirah as well. So here we're talking about there is someone who has received money from you, finding it difficult to pay back. You know his financial state, you know his job, you know his income is not the highest. It's going to take him time. And you should go easy on him. Look at the rewards. The rewards are, subhanAllah, found in abundance. In Sahihain, both Bukhari and Muslim, Sayyiduna Hudhaifa radiyallahu ta'ala and narrates, so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, in the previous era, there was a person whose soul was about to be extracted from his body. The angel arrived and it was said to that person, do you remember doing anything good? He said, I don't recall doing any good deed. And it was said to him, ponder, reflect, and then mention it again. And he says, I don't recall anything except one thing. I only recall one thing. In the world, when I would do transactions with people and I would show good conduct towards them, even if a wealthy person came to me and he requested for some time, respite, I would give him respite, a wealthy person. And as for the person who was financially constrained, he wasn't wealthy, he was already suffering, I would pardon him, I would forgive him. Subhanallah, what's the reward of this? The narration mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted that person admittance to paradise. He gained entry to paradise. Why? Whenever he would do transactions in the world, he would show good conduct towards people. Even if a wealthy person came to him and asked for some time, requested some time, respite, he would give him respite. And as for the person who was financially struggling, and there was bazaahir, apparently no means for him to pay it back, he would forgive that. He would pardon him. And because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala entered him into Jannah. And this particular narration, in Sahih Muslim, the wordings towards the end are that Allah Ta'ala said, subhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala said that I am more rightful of forgiving. Meaning that person said he would forgive the loan, the debt of the financially constrained person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I am more rightful of forgiving. O angels, pardon this person of mine. Pardon this slave of mine. So subhanAllah, these are the things that we should be thinking about in this particular situation. If we're in this situation where we're owed money and we should look at the person, if he's financially constrained, if he cannot give it back, then if Allah has blessed us and we are prosperous, we are wealthy, we're affluent, then look at the reward. Even if you were to forgive that debt, forgive the amount that he has given you, you will not suffer loss. Why? Because Allah will grant you forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you entry into paradise. Subhanallah. And there are many people out there. MashaAllah, Allah has blessed them. Yet, if someone owes them £1,000, £2,000, they will make his life a living hell, as they say. They would make it very difficult for him. And these are people who should learn from Islamic teaching. Another hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the one who saves a person or frees a person from a dunyawi, worldly takleef, difficulty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove a difficulty of the hereafter from that person, subhanAllah. And whoever goes easy on a person who is financially struggling, can't pay his debt back, Allah Ta'ala will grant him ease in both his deen and dunya as well. So there are so many narrations, there are many more narrations as well. But now I would like to mention a parable, an account, an incident, and it's concerning one of the greatest imams of this ummah, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, who is known as Al-Imam Al-A'zam radiyallahu ta'ala. Imam Fakhruddin Razi rahmatullahi alayhi narrates this account. He says that a Majusi, a fire worshipper, he owed Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi some money. So he's the debtor, and Imam Abu Hanifa was the creditor. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi went to this Majusi's house to attain his amount that he was owed. When he reached his door, coincidentally, some form of impurity went onto the shoes of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. And in order to remove that impurity, Imam Abu Hanifa began to shake his shoes the way we do. If something were to go on them, then we would use certain methods to try and remove that impurity. And when he did this, some of that impurity flew and went onto the wall of that Majusi, the wall of his house. When Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi saw this, a man of taqwa, fear of Allah, a person who would fulfill the rights of people, he became concerned, worried. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi was distressed. And he thought to himself, if I leave the impurity on the wall, his wall will become stained. And if I were to clean it, clean that impurity from the wall, perhaps the clay, whatever the wall was made of, whatever material the wall was made of, that will come off as well. Look at the thinking of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala. And whilst concerned in this state, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala knocked on the door of that Majusi's house. And a slave girl, she exited, she came out. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala said to her, tell your master that Abu Hanifa is at the door. The Majusi came out and he thought Imam Sahib is going to ask me for the debt, for the loan that I took from him, the money that I owe him. So as soon as he came out, he began to delay and he began to, you know, waste a bit of time. Imam Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhu said to him, I have an issue which is greater than the debt that you owe me. I am currently facing an issue which is greater than that, far greater than that. And then he mentioned the whole incident, how he came, there was some impurity on his shoes, he took his shoes off, and in order to remove them, he shook the shoes or whatever you do to try and remove it. Some of that impurity flew onto the wall, and now there is impurity on the wall of this person's house, the Majusi's house. And he asked the fire worshipper, he asked the Majusi, what shall I do now? How can we cleanse the wall? How can we purify? How can we remove that impurity on the wall? And listen to what that fire worshipper said. He said, never mind the wall, let me begin by cleansing myself first, and then we can think about the wall. And subhanAllah, the biographers wrote that when he heard Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi mention this incident and the fear of Allah that was in the heart of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, subhanAllah, that fire worshipper, that Majusi, accepted Islam straight away. He said, let me cleanse myself first, let me purify myself first from wrong beliefs, from wrong doctrine. And he accepted Islam. SubhanAllah, this is the way of our Aslaf, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And this is the way that we should follow. We shouldn't always think about how am I going to obtain my right? What about the rights of people? This person wasn't even a Muslim. But look at Imam Abu Hanifa's taqwa. He knows that Allah is watching. He has great fear in his heart. So today, we get caught up in so many minor issues, trivial issues. Oh, it's my right. How dare he, you know, delay in doing this or not respond to me in a manner that I wanted, in a manner that I desired, etc., etc. Think about others as well. And in particular, we've heard throughout this episode that when somebody owes you money, he's not capable of giving it back, go easy on him. Give him time. And if he's really suffering and you are wealthy, you are prosperous, forgive that debt. Allah Ta'ala will forgive you. Allah will grant you admittance into paradise, inshallah. Because you removed his difficulty, Allah will remove a difficulty of the akhirah of yours. So there's only profit, and it's only a win-win situation for a believer. May Allah Ta'ala enable us to adopt the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to give respite to the debtor, and if possible, even forgive his debt totally. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi al-Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
This is a sunnah too. This is a sunnah too. This is a sunnah too.